broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you also know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom loving, faith filled, fantastic Friday. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Welcome to the broadcast. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on, of course, Brian Rust with the Honest Money Report. We talked about new crypto billionaires popping up everywhere, according to Forbes magazine. Yeah, they updated their annual list of billionaires. And if you've been following the red hot crypto market, they say more and more billionaires are being minted. I thought we minted coins, not people, but there you have it. Crypto exchanges should be shut down if they don't suspend Russian accounts. That's Yahoo Finance. Shame on them. China has made all cryptocurrencies transactions illegal, causing crypto prices to plummet. Wow, are we in the middle of what they call a cryptocurrency market flash crash? Just wondering. We also talked about Joe Biden. The U.S. economy had its strongest year in nearly four decades in 2021, but fiscal stimulus powered the U.S. economy to its best performance since 1984. Inflation rises to its highest level in four decades. That was hour one. Hour two, we had talked about Sean Hannity suggested on Wednesday that the U.S. should assassinate Russian President Vladimir Putin for his invasion of Ukraine. Shame on Sean Hannity. Shame. Look, folks, we don't need to be killing on either side. We'll get into this in great detail today coming up. FDA warns of possible false tests from some tests. Jack Phillips, Western Journal, doing a great job. Hey, the government's now admitting three big home test kits. You can't rely on them. Government's flat out admitting that. They don't tell you the truth on COVID. You can't rely on it. The fully vaccinated, believe it or not, account for 9 out of every 10 deaths from COVID-19 in England, and 4 out of 5 of them are triply vaccinated. In the United States, newly published CDC data shows a massive increase in COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations among the vaccinated when it comes to Omicron. Believe it or not, hospitals receive payments for testing every patient for COVID. COVID diagnosis and every death, the hospitals get a bunch of money, ladies and gentlemen, especially if they put you on a mechanical ventilation device or a ventilator. The truth is coming out about COVID deaths, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Joseph McCullough with the details, doubling down and saying, hey, COVID deaths have been vastly overcounted. Dr. John Campbell reviews recent data released by the UK government in response to a FOIA, or Freedom of Information Act, request. Perhaps the most effective weapon against viral infections, they're now realizing and admitting, is nebulized hydrogen peroxide, ladies and gentlemen. It offers immediate and direct supplemental support for the human body's natural immune system, explains Joseph Mercola. It could happen tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We finished up yesterday's broadcast talking about this doomsday example. They say experts know disaster upon disaster looms for the West Coast. USA Today, they say it could kill thousands of people, could change the lives of millions more. It's just crazy what their scenarios are. And I agree, we need to prepare for disaster, ladies and gentlemen. But this fear-mongering has got to stop. All right? It's just got to stop. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show that's still available online at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Share the love, spread the word, tell your neighbor, please. News the networks refuse to use today starts now with Chris Carlson. Welcome back, my friend.
Sam, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Amen to that. And wow, we have an incredible guest today. Chris, you want to do the honors?
Yes, and it is an honor. We have Sasha Altukov with us. Sasha is originally from the Ukraine, so he is very relevant today considering world events. But he is also a world-class dancer, Sam. He started his dancing when he was 10 years old. He won 2 national championships as a junior and youth competitor while in the Ukraine. He also was ranked 3rd in the under-21 World Championship and won the World Latin Cup. At the age of 19, Sasha relocated to the United States. Since then, he became a runner-up and the U.S. National Amateur Championship and represented the United States in numerous world championships. In 2011, Sasha decided to turn professional. Shortly after turning professional, he won the U.S. National Professional Rising Star Latin. He now has won 2 U.S. National Pro Rising Star Latin titles with 2 different partners. And I'm going to let Sasha take over and sing his own praises with his wife, Cheyenne. Go ahead, Sasha. Take over, buddy.
Welcome to the broadcast, sir. How are you?
I'm good. And you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Now, Sasha has a website, too, to kind of promote, to learn more about what he does, if you're interested in the dance and that kind of stuff. CenterStageUtah.com is the website for that, CenterStageUtah.com. Now, Sasha, one of the most interesting things that I noticed is, you know what? One of your parents is from Russia. The other parent is Ukrainian, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. How does that work then? Yeah. Is that a complicated thing for you to navigate this now?
Well, I was born in like Donbass region, and so that part of Ukraine was always considered more closer to Russia. So we, from the birth, you know, we speak Russian language because majority of Ukraine speaks Ukrainian. Where we are, Crimea and Donbass, we always spoke Russian, because we're like very close to the border with Russia. So, and yeah, so I always consider, I mean, we lived in Ukraine, but it was, we're Russian speaking family. So, and the region was always Russian speaking. So, yeah.
So help me understand this a little bit then, just so I kind of understand the history. How does this all work then? Are the Ukrainians and the Russians friends? Is it like the United States and Canada kind of? Is it, you know, Canada has English ties, French ties, etc., right? So is it like that where there's a lot of different allegiances across the Ukraine, or how does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, we were always like friends countries, you know, so it's easy. It was always like you just jump on the car or take a train, and then you in Russia, you know, back in the day when I used to compete in Ukraine, we would always go for lessons to Moscow. You go on a train, like 9-hour drive on the train, and then you in Moscow do your lessons or competitions, jump on the train back and just go back. So it was very easy. It's just like, I mean, the distance was like probably to some of the cities, like to get like from Provo to St. George to Russia, you know, from Donbass region, you know, so it was very close. And we always felt like it was a friend country, you know, so the whole Europe is very, very small, considerably, you know, compared to US. And so it was like back in the day, like traveling from state to state in America. So, and yeah, we always felt like it was, that this escalation is like very upsetting, you know, for me and all my family and friends, both in Russia and Ukraine, you know, so, and it's just, yeah, because my parents lived in the war since 2014, you know, when it's whole, the whole thing started. Yeah.
All right. So let's look at the history just for a second so I understand. You take Russia, you take the Ukraine. You mentioned that there was a very friendly relationship as you were growing up. Give me the long-term history. Has it always been friendly? How has the relationship kind of evolved? Give me kind of a thumbnail, will you?
Well, so the Russians and Ukrainians are very competitive nations in anything they do, you know. So we always had like, it was never anger, but it was always a competition between like two nations, you know. It's whether it's sports, whether it's politics, whether it's in any sort of relationship, it was always a competition. You know, so as far as I remember growing up there, because I moved out when I was 19 from Ukraine. And yeah, so I lived in America since. But going back, it was always competitive. But we all always felt, because it was, both countries were part of USSR back before 90s, you know, and everybody was kind of same country, but then we were separated, and I mean, it was still felt like the same country, but we have different borders, but it was always felt like the same, you know. And then I haven't lived there since 2000 and I would say seven, so things changed. I mean, I visited a couple times, and actually my one of the last visits, last time I saw my dad, it was in 2000, I believe 14, right before they start bombing the airport in Donbass in Donetsk. You know, I left that airport, and then 5 or 6 days later, they start bombing the airport. So that was last time I saw my dad.
So I mean, for people to understand, Russia's got about 150 million people population-wise, and the Ukraine's got about 50 million people population-wise. So Russia's about triple the size of the Ukraine, right?
Yes. So, but Ukraine is the biggest country in Europe because Russia spread around Asia and stuff. But if you look at the size of the country, Ukraine is the biggest country in the whole Europe.
So you're not talking population now. You're talking about square miles, right, or size?
Size-wise, yes.
Right. Size-wise. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, a third of the population, but much more land mass, right?
Yeah, we have a lot
of land. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. We've got an incredible discussion coming up with Sasha Altykov, ladies and gentlemen. His mom and dad from the Ukraine and Russia, respectively. Sounds like a conflict, but is it? CenterStageUtah.com is his dance studio with his lovely wife. We'll talk more in seconds. Chris Carlson with us. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor.
VoteBundy.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio. Incredible interview. Our guest has a Russian father, a Ukrainian mother, Chris.
Yes, Russian father and Ukrainian mother. So, Sasha, I would like to know, do you feel conflicted in this current conflict? Does it break your heart to see what's happening to your country?
So, I mean, I'm super upset about the whole situation because, I mean, I have a lot of friends in Russia. I have a lot of friends in Ukraine. Multiple cities in Russia. I mean, I perform in Kremlin with my partner Cheyenne, my wife Cheyenne right now, and we went a couple times and perform in Kremlin. And we have tons of friends there, you know, and I spoke to both sides, and it's super upsetting to see what's going on. And, my whole family, hopes this is going to be over soon. You know, we just, I mean, we really just want the fighting to stop, and we don't want any war. You know, we want everybody to be in peace, and just we don't want any more dead people, you know. So, because this is the most upsetting thing, that two like neighbors going against each other and trying to fight each other, and innocent people die.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have friends and family members maybe that end up as casualties of this war. So if you had your druthers, if you were able to decide which side of the border would then the Donbass region lie at the end of this war, do you prefer Russia or the Ukraine, Sasha?
Well, I don't know. You see, the thing is, like, when I left, because I finished the school, yes, and then I moved out from my family when I was 15 to pursue my dance career, right? And back then there was no like a separation. It's better to live here, better to live there. And I lived for about 3 years in Kharkiv, was being heavily bombed right now. And so I have a lot of friends there too. And it's also in the east, very close to Russia, right? So, and I perform a lot of times in Kyiv, so I cannot say which side I take because I haven't physically lived there for a while, so I'm not sure what the real situation is, you know. So, like, when I moved from there, everything was in peace and everybody was happy, and the Russia side was happy, Ukrainian side was happy. So I remember living in Ukraine in a happy environment, you know, and everything was successful, and there was no issues. So I don't really know how is it right now there, you know. So I just, like I said, which side I would take, I just take the side of no war at this point, because I don't really sure, and I cannot suggest because I hear, because the problem is like I have two more brothers, right? One lives right now in Donetsk, and another one is in Ukraine. So I mean, there's a chance of possibilities, like when one of my brothers have to fight another brother because they live in two different regions. And that's the part we don't want to happen. Yeah.
All right. So let me just ask this question, Sasha. Why the war, though? I mean, why are they at war anyway? Why is there an invasion? Is it a matter of the mother country, Russia, is kind of saying, hey, you're a breakaway? Is it kind of like a China-Taiwan discussion a little bit where they're reclaiming territory? Or what's driving this thing? Do you know?
I'm not sure. You see, there's a lot of, because it's like, it depends which region you live in, you know, because I see some Russian news, they say in one thing, I see Ukrainian news, they say in another thing. So I'm not really sure what the real story is at this point, you know, and what are they actually fighting for, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, you know, and like everybody else, you either go on Twitter and trying to read things, or you watch news on TV and trying to figure out what the situation is. So for myself, like, I can see it's just the, you know, Russia's like, they say they tried to free up all those people in Donbass and Luhansk states, but Ukrainians see it completely differently. So I'm not sure, because I'm not there. So, like, I understand the people of Donbass and Luhansk, their position, you know, because I mean, they're very close to Russia, and but I also understand people of the rest of the Ukraine. They don't want to take those pieces apart, like Crimea. So they don't want to end up like Crimea. So they want their borders to be the same as they were like 10 years ago. So yeah, so I'm not sure really what the situation is here, because like I said, there's a lot of disinformation out there.
Yeah, that's the problem. You don't know who to trust, especially the news outlets. So,
yeah.
But I, Sasha, I understand that in the case of the Crimea, that 97% of the people actually voted to go with Russia rather than the Ukraine. Is that?
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible? That 97% of the people would have. You believe so? Okay. Would that be the case with the Donbass region as well, do you think?
Well, I mean, if they ask right now, I'm sure they probably
be a little
say
lower.
Yes, like we want to be part of Russia, you know, like when we talk about Crimea, I had a lot of friends in Crimea, you know, back in the day. I performed a lot of times in Crimea too. And there's a lot of people who consider themselves as Russians who live there, You know, so I'm sure when they did the voting, if they had a choice, I could see that reason why would they want to be part of Russia, because there was a lot of Russian speaking there and a lot of Russian citizens. They had a lot of properties there who would go and just for vacation, because there's a good vacation area there. You know, we have a sea there, nice beaches, and, you know, the weather always good. So, and there was a lot of, lots of Russian speaking people there. So I could see why they voted for Crimea be part of Russia. But 97%, I'm not sure, it sounds a little high, but I could see why they would vote to be part of the Russia.
Well, and if in the Crimea they were able to accomplish that feat peacefully, why couldn't they have done that with the Donbass region? Why couldn't they have just negotiated with their diplomats and just given Russia that portion which is clearly predominantly favored to Russia? I don't understand why we had to have a war in order to accomplish this. And now it's going to create a mess in the entire country.
Well, that's the issue, you know. So, and I'm not sure why there was no way of peacefully sorting this whole thing out, because I'm sure there's ways always, you know. But as far as I understood from watching the news, Russia was afraid of NATO putting their military bases in Ukraine, and so that thing got escalated, as far as I understand the Russian side. But I don't understand why there was no way of, like, trying to find a way to promise there's going to be no military bases in Ukraine, and then that thing would never get escalated. So, yeah, so it's like I asked a lot of people the same question. They also finding it interesting why would they have to start the war in order to prove some points, instead of just organizing some kind of meeting when everybody can just be like, hey, you know what, we're gonna promise not gonna be military bases here, you're safe, and there's no threat to Russia. Yeah, so that's the part what's most confusing.
Yeah, confusing to me and Sam as well. So Sam, do you have another question to ask?
Yeah, so let me ask this question. You know, it seems like everybody wants to take sides in this, sir. And I don't understand why. If people like you who grew up there, you've got a Russian father, a Ukrainian mother, you're saying, hey, there's so much disinformation out there, it's hard to know which side to pick. The sad part is that these two countries used to be incredible friends with a peaceful but yet, you know, hey, competition kind of rivalry. Which is really relatively normal, et cetera.
Yeah.
That, you know what, you speak Russian, you speak Ukrainian. You know, this history, why is everybody picking sides, and why do we have to pick sides? Can't I just pray for them all and stay the heck out of it and say, you know what, I love you all, and I hope you come to your senses and stop fighting, and I hope we can get back to doing what people do best, which is, you know what, husbands love their wives, and wives love their husbands, and they both love their children, and everybody wants the same thing, just a fantastic family life. You want to be about your career, which is dancing. Can't we just all get back to that? Do we got to pick sides?
Well, yeah, that's a little bit the issue, because I think, like, back in the day, like back in 10 years, the course of Ukraine a little bit changed. You know, they wanted to be a little bit more considered as Europe, part of the European Union, you know, have a better life, because growing up, my parents were not making a lot of money, so that's the rest of the Ukraine, you know, only like maybe Kiev capital, you know, with people live there, they make quite a bit better income than the rest of the Ukraine. And I think there was always a goal, like, to go somewhere else, or, like, for example, I end up in America for just, you know, because I wanted to try and see if I can find better living here, you know, than in Ukraine, because the things are tough there, you know, so, and it's hard to find a good job where you can afford things and afford to support your family. And Ukraine course was always go towards Europe, you know. So, and I think that's when the separation started happening a little bit between Russia and Ukraine, because Russia was, I mean, self-established country, you know, the life itself.
Right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Chris Carlson, with me, and Sasha Altikoff. On your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Death and destruction continues in Ukraine as Russian soldiers continue their quest across Europe's second largest country. The latest victim is Europe's largest nuclear power plant, attacked by Russian bombs overnight. David Nichols is with South Africa's Nuclear Energy Corporation and describes the power plant's characteristics on ENCA News.
I cannot believe somebody is actually going to directly target the reactor. What you'd be doing is, at best, trying to knock out the auxiliaries around it, which would cause the plant potentially to lose cooling, which would be very similar in that sense to the Three Mile Island accident in 1979 in the USA.
The Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is now in control by Russian soldiers. Florida Senate passed a bill last night, 23-15, to ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign the bill. USA Radio News.
Okay, so we got the chorizo dumplings, the cucumber empanadas.
Zara's food truck is popping off.
Come on, guys, let's pick it up, all right?
But if she doesn't find a new chef, her truck will be stuck.
Carl quit this morning, so Jessica, I'm going to need you on the fryer.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
With inflation and gas prices striking hard on American wallets, what is Washington going to do about this crisis?
With Americans continuing to get pounded at the gas pump, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki asked in her daily news conference what the president is going to do about it.
The president is quite focused on making sure that we are taking steps to reduce the impact, to ensure there's supply necessary out there. Obviously, tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is part of that. Engaging with global partners around the world who may be big global suppliers about putting more oil in the system.
AAA is now reporting the national average at $3.73 a gallon. That's up 8 cents from just yesterday, 32 cents from a month ago, and over a dollar 12 months ago. From the USA Radio News Washington Bureau, I'm John Hunt.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina introduced a resolution Wednesday calling for an international court to investigate Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Sasha Olikoff, our guest. Center stage, performing arts studio is where he's an incredible professional dancer, along with his wife. They instruct and teach and have classes and all kinds of cool stuff. To learn more, centerstageutah.com. That's centerstageutah.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Sasha's parents, one's his father, Russian, his mother, Ukrainian. So in your family then, between your parents, and I don't mean to make this too personal, but I'm trying to understand something. Why is everybody picking sides? I don't get it. Most people don't even know what it's about. I don't. I understand there's border territorial lines or whatever else, but I don't really understand the conflict exactly. And I don't understand why America needs to be involved and pick sides at all. They're dumping Russian alcohol down the drain, which I don't understand at all, since, you know, the Russians already got their money. I just don't get it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. We just get whacked out crazy emotional, folks, and just do whacked out crazy things. But Sasha, is there a rift between your parents? Are they picking sides?
No, my parents are not picking sides, you know, because like I said, I mean, they live there. Their story, their point of view on things, what's going on, because I mean, sure, they have Russian TV, you know, they don't really have Ukrainian TV, so they only see the Russian side, what's going on there, you know, in Ukraine, they see the Ukrainian side, so whatever speaks on TV, you know, whatever they say on TV, they just kind of believe and take that part of the story and taking that side. you know.
Yeah, which
so,
is typical in America as well, right?
Yeah, typical, very typical. Because like I said, my brother lives in Ukraine right now. I understand his situation, what they're going through. But at the same time, I understand my parents too, who live in Donbass, and I understand their situation too. So,
yes,
like, I'm not picking any sides because, like, I understand both sides of the story. I just, like I said, I just want peace, you know. So,
of course,
we don't have to have my brother going against my other brother, you know, and have to fight the war for we don't know what.
Yes. So let me understand this then. If your parents aren't picking sides, if we don't really know what it's about, if everybody's believing whatever media they're getting, if you will, it mm-hmm. seems to me that what we need to do is just take a step back from this thing, see if we can all take a big, deep breath and say, okay, wait a minute. Would somebody please put the issues on the table, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing started happening. They start negotiations, right, between two countries.
Yes.
I think that yesterday it was the second one. They come to agreement on something like supplies could be, they can have a green corridor for supplies for people. So, and I think another, the third part of the negotiation is going to be in a couple of days, a day or two. So they try, it seems like they open for conversation at this point, so which is a good sign. Hopefully they can find some ground subjects what they can talk about and make a decision for, you know, so the shooting can stop. So, I mean, everything else is politics, you know, but the most important is to stop the shooting of the innocent people, you know, because like the first couple of days it was armies, but now the civilians, you know, I watched the video the other day where the bomb hit Kharkov, like main capital, the biggest square in the whole Europe. And my university was like 3-minute walk from there, you know, and it was like 8 a.m. when the bomb like just landed in the middle of the city. And it's just scary to see the cars on fire and people running and screaming and crying. And it's just devastating because I used to walk those streets on the way to the studio from university, you know, so it just happened in the middle of the day. It's scary, the whole situation.
Wow. Are your Chris? Parents in danger right now? Sasha, are your parents in danger?
No. They, I mean, when I called them the other day, you know, when the whole thing started a week ago, and I asked them what's going on, and they said, you know, for where they live, nothing changed. I mean, they've been living in, I mean, they had curfew since 2014, so they live in the curfew for the past 8 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, so for them, I mean, it's like every day, like every other day, and in their region, you know, so what's going on right now. Sometimes it's a little bit more shooting, sometimes a little bit less shooting, but it's more or less the same. You know, every time I ask them, I was like, how's it going? They're like, well, it gets scarier when there's no shooting because they expect it's going to be something bigger coming up, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, that's their life for the past 8 years in that region.
All right, wow. So I don't know how on the ground you are in terms of with your parents, and maybe you have family and friends and loved ones and that kind of stuff in the Ukraine and or in Russia, since it's where you lived is near the border. But are people fleeing the countries? Are there a lot of refugees? What's happening there?
Well, yeah, I had a lot of friends, and actually, I mean, a lot of dancers are helping right now because I'm very familiar with dance community, so they're helping out right now. A lot of like women and children try to leave the country because men who are 18 from the age of 18 to age of 60, they cannot leave the country at this point, you know? And, yeah, but a lot of women and children are leaving right now. Last thing I heard, over 1 million already left. So they're going to like Romania, they go to Moldova, they go to a lot of people going to Poland. And then from there, they decide in which direction to take, because some of them have like relatives in Canada, some have Spain, some have a lot of people in Poland, because it's also Poland is the border with the west of Ukraine, with Lviv. So a lot of people going in that direction.
Understood. How did you get to America? Let's hear your story. How did you end up here?
Well, I came because of my dance career. I came for dance lessons and to New York City, and then in the studio where I was taking the lessons myself, the owners came up and they're like, hey, would you like to come and work for us, because we love the way you move and you and your partner dance. And then we decided to come and try to stay here, to live and see if we like it. And then we end up liking it a lot, and we end up staying.
Now, where's your wife from?
My wife is from America, actually. I came with the other, my partner from Ukraine back in 2007. Yeah, my wife is from Utah. She's from Mapleton.
All right, so let me explain this to the audience so they kind of understand. Uh-huh. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Sasha Aldikov. And Sasha, his parents, one parent, father from Russia, the other parent, mother from the Ukraine. They love their countries. They love the peaceful rivalry between the countries. They know both Russian and Ukrainian. So does Sasha. And they don't really understand the conflict and don't want to pick sides. They just hope everybody can get back to peace. Well, that's what I hope as an American. Well, now Sasha moves to the United States and marries an American. So now you've got a, I don't know, he's half Russian, half Ukrainian, I guess, right? But he's from the Ukraine, but he lives in America, and he has an American wife. How does that work out in your family? Is that difficult?
No, not at all. I mean, my mom was at our wedding 2 years ago, and I mean, she loves everything about Cheyenne, my wife, and you know, she likes America too. So as far as I know, as much she saw, because she was the first time in America 2 years ago. So, and I mean, then she came back. She's supposed to come and visit, but then the whole war started again. So we'll see now when I can be able to see them again. So I'm not sure.
Understood. The reason I bring this up, though, is, ladies and gentlemen, you got Ukrainian, Russian, half Ukrainian, half Russian, American. Mm-hmm. Now the children are going to be, a quarter Ukrainian, quarter Russian, half American, or wherever your wife's roots are from. And I bring this up, though, because, look, we're all God's children, people. Sasha, do you want to speak to that?
Say it again?
We're all God's children.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, we are. You know, so it's like there shouldn't be any conflicts. You know, we're in a free world. We should enjoy the life. You know, we should enjoy each other and just whatever God gives us, you know. So, and we just have to be thankful for it. You know, we don't have to start the wars. We don't have to be fighting each other, you know, because we get life only once. You know, so you better do it the right way because you don't have another opportunity to do it again.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you this. Tell me about the freedoms in Russia, the freedoms in Ukraine, relating to your growing up years versus the freedoms in America.
Well, when I was growing up, because like I said, my family, they were not rich. You know, everything comes to the point, you know, when it's like, do you have to make some sacrifices, you know, in order to achieve something? And like I said, in Russia, there's a lot of active kids, and they either speak soccer or they pick hockey or they do gymnastics. A lot of people do a lot of dancing, you know, so they're very committed and they're very competitive in what they do. And we had the freedom to do it. You know, my parents gave me the opportunity to travel and see the world and explore. And they were very open about it, you know. So, and as far as I know, in Russia, also back in the day when I was growing up, everything was more or less open, you know, because my parents still lived in USSR. My older brother was a little bit older than me. He's 7 years older than me. So he experienced when everybody was together in USSR, and then he experienced also Ukraine being separated from Russia.
All right, so, Sasha Aldikov, just stay right there. We'll be right back in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Fascinating conversation, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. In my opinion, I don't understand the conflict here at all. And that's why I think our founding fathers were so wise to warn. You know what? You got to avoid the foreign entanglements, because, man, when are you on the right side and when you were on the wrong side? Is dumping out Russian vodka the answer in America, ladies and gentlemen? Sounds like a bunch of emotional manipulation, but it doesn't sound true. Whatever country you're in, whatever media you're consuming is what you kind of believe to be the truth. Sadly, the truth is very difficult. And what we need to remember is that we're all God's children, and we got to start acting like it. What we need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, is this. You know what? Peaceful diplomatic dialogue is one of the greatest solutions we have. Sasha Aldikov, our guest. Center stage performing arts is what he does for a living. He came to the United States to dance. Incredible dancer, put together and involved in a studio, centerstageutah.com. Check it out. It's very fascinating. But Sasha was in the middle of telling us about the freedoms in Russia and in the Ukraine. When he grew up, they could dance, they could play hockey, they could do soccer, they could whatever they wanted to pursue, for the most part, they could do. Right, Sasha?
Yeah. You can pursue pretty much everything you want to do with it. Just like I said, because the families were not earning big income, so we couldn't take it like larger and go to like countries like Australia. It would be very hard, you know, because every trip you would take, it would take my parents months to pay that trip off. So that was that was a little bit the issue, you know, to take it. I mean, there's a lot of talented dancers in Ukraine, a lot of talented dancers in Russia. But like I said, because the incomes are not high for the families, when I was growing up, it was very hard to take it on international scene, you know, only like the few talented dancers who could afford things, they could go and take it on international level. Lately, it gotten better though, but now, like I said, the dance community, especially in Ukraine, is suffering big time with this war, you know, and there's a lot of tremendously talented people there. And I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but we're doing fundraiser on Tuesday at our studio at about 7 o'clock. We're trying to raise the funds for Ukrainian dancers and send the money, you know, to help them in this difficult situation.
Okay, so you're not raising money for Ukraine as opposed to Russia. You're raising money just for dancing. It's a non-political fundraiser for those Ukrainian dancers. Why? Because you're from Ukraine. That's why, right?
Yes. Because, I mean, the Russian dancers, as far as I know, I check with all my friends there, they're so far okay, because, I mean, there's nothing really going on there, only sanctions, you know, at this point. But
yes,
the Ukrainian dancers, you know, I have some friends who have to physically take guns and then go on the streets and fight, you know.
All right. Are there a lot more freedoms in America than in the Ukraine or Russia?
Well,
are we freer like we think we are?
Well, there's more opportunities here, I would say it like that. You know, when I moved to this country, there was just so many opportunities, and people a little bit more open about things, a little bit more open about speaking and doing things. And so I would say there's a lot more opportunities in this country, for sure.
Well, Chris? Let me put a little finer point on that question, if I could, Sam. So like in Russia or the Ukraine, Sasha, could you own a firearm like you can own one here in America?
Well, I don't think you can, I'm not sure about Russia, but in Ukraine, because I live in Ukraine, I think you can own a not fully automatic rifle, but like you cannot
a handgun.
My dad had. I mean, when I was growing up, we were going hunting with my dad all the time, you know, and he owned a couple guns, hunting guns, you know, so but not like rifles.
Well, you see, that's a little different than I was led to believe. I thought that you couldn't own a personal firearm, whether it was for hunting or self-defense or whatever. So that's interesting.
You could.
Now, go ahead. You could.
Uh-huh.
Now, as far as, you know, in America here, Sasha, we have certain rights written into our founding document, the Constitution, where you have the right to free speech. You have the right to peaceably assemble. You have the right to petition your government for redress of grievances. Do you have any of those rights, or did you feel as if you could exercise those rights while you were in the Ukraine?
Well, when I was growing up, because you see, we had a lot of different presidents, right? So, and then with each president, it's different vibe and different things you can do. So, like I said, the Zelensky president. Who is in charge right now, right? So when I was growing up, I was watching his comedian's show because he's a comedian, you know, and I wasn't there, but I heard that he was doing like a series on TV when he was like regular person, like regular Ukrainian, and then they make him president and he started defending people rights. And then that show became super popular. And then somebody suggested for him to start running for president, and he got super popular, became president. And as far as I understand, he's fighting for people rights right now and trying to take Ukraine to European Union and then trying to get Ukraine to the different stage. But like I said, we had different presidents and the dynamics with each president were different. So with some of them, you could feel free a little bit more. With the other ones, there's a lot more restrictions. So like I said, we had revolution 2014 because of one president, and people didn't like the regime. They attacked his house, and then he had to run away to Russia and hide in Russia. So because that president was super pro-Russia one, and people didn't like the regime. So I think the whole issue is because people want to be a little bit more free, and then they want to be part of relying on Russia a lot, and they want to be a little bit more involved in European Union, have freedoms like in Europe, people have in Europe, you know. So, and like I said, it just depends on the president. That one 8 years ago was very pro-Russia. Zelensky is very much pro-Europe. You know, he doesn't want to be do anything with Russia, just wants to be free. So I think that's where the issue is escalated. And I think Zelensky trying to protect the popular vote in Ukraine. And to get Ukraine to the European Union. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe that's why Russia doesn't like him.
Maybe that could be the issue, you know, so because, like, I felt like Ukraine was always like a sister to Russia, you know, and now Ukraine tried to get to European Union, kind of tried to separate escape kind of in a way from Russia, you know, and maybe that would be part of the issue with why the whole thing got escalated.
Exactly. Now, what about religion? Is there freedom of religion in the Ukraine? Or, you know, when you were growing up, like, for example, here in Utah, the Mormon church is very popular here in Utah, as you know. Mm-hmm. Did you ever recall seeing Mormon congregations in the Ukraine where you lived?
I did. Yeah, my school was actually... Yeah, where I used to live in Donbass, my school was right in the center of the city. I was always talking to missionaries back then when I was like in the fifth or sixth grade, you know, and because I was very curious in the English language and math in school. So I always wanted to practice my English talking to missionaries. So because there's not a lot of English speaking people.
Mormon missionaries?
Yeah, Mormon missionaries, yeah.
Right. Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. So I've got a question. So as far as NATO and the European Union was concerned, was that a topic while you were in the Ukraine growing up? Did people talk about that, or was that kind of on the back burner? Because
that
you know,
was
nowadays,
a little bit on the back burner.
That's one of the big friction points.
Yeah.
in the yeah, it so wasn't they, it wasn't something up, that teenagers stood around and talked about.
No, no, we didn't talk about it.
I'm just curious because that's one of Russia. Okay. So maybe among the parents, it was a little more of a topic of conversation or something. Okay. Because now, that's a major topic of conversation, especially among, they don't want to see the Ukraine become part of NATO. That's one of the reasons that Russia invaded them. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Yeah, because Russia believes it's kind of the mother country. And if anybody's going to belong to NATO, it'll be Russia. But the Russian government doesn't want to become part of NATO. The interesting thing about all that is I don't want to be part of NATO either. I'd like to get America out of NATO. The UN seems to be silent when they could really negotiate and do some good. But yet the UN, whenever it comes to the fighting, wants to go ahead and be involved at every turn. I would like to understand this, Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
What can we as Americans do? I think not picking sides is one of the big things we can do. But what else can we do to help? I believe we're all God's children. I would like peace, not war, everywhere. How do we help accomplish that?
Well, you said it right. I don't think picking sides will make things better at this point, you know. So, but like I said, how I see it is like it's like a family, right? Sometimes we have fights, like when big brother hitting small brother, right? And then this younger brother growing up, you learn something from it, you know, and get stronger. So I feel like Ukraine is like a little sister to a big brother, you know, who's trying to try not pick on the little sister right now, you know. So, and I think Ukrainian people are strong, you know, so they have strong will, they're ready to protect their country, they're very motivated, and they're ready to protect it, you know. They have a president with a vision who they believe at this point, and I think, you know, to getting involved in this conflict, it might start the World War III. It's my opinion, you know, because I think that's what happens right now with European countries. You know, because Putin is very aggressive in the way he attacks Ukraine at this point. And I think a lot of other countries are super afraid, and so they do the steps with caution at this point, and no one wants to get involved. So, but I mean, everybody's super surprised the way Ukraine reacting to the invasion at this point, and how they're protecting. And I mean, you see women with the guns, you see old grandmas and grandpas with the guns on the streets, people laying down, and they making human shields to not tanks in the cities, and they fighting as much as
they're certainly as they all can. Fighting for their homes, their wives, their children, their way of life, their hearth,
there's,
whatever you want to call it.
Difference, you know. Yeah, that's what I feel like the difference is. They have something to fight for, where the Russians are just doing the job. You know, that's just like, and then
understood.
If you look at the videos from what I saw, there's a lot of 18, 19 years old boys, you know, who's just been thrown in a fight at this point. And Ukraine's still holding up because they're actually like fighting for something.
Hey, Chris, yesterday I had a Reuben sandwich, man, and I had sauerkraut and Russian dressing on that baby, just so you know. Take us home, Chris. Wrap it up, buddy.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're maintaining your neutrality, as am I. I really don't care if one side or the other wins, Sasha. I want peace. I'm a peace-loving person. I think they could have resolved this peaceably. But I look at Russia, obviously, as the aggressor, because the Ukraine is a sovereign nation. You know, if they wanted to make changes, they should have probably tried to approach it from a diplomatic point of view. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So at this point, I have to take sides with the Ukraine. And
In my opinion, I don't take sides. Either side wins, we all lose, in my opinion.
Well, that's a good point.
Because what happens is the victors tell the story, and then history is manipulated from that point forward. Sad to say, but true. Sasha, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Check out their incredible fundraiser for dancers at centerstageutah.com. Chris, we're out of time. Thank you so much, sir. God save the Republic.